everyone. Welcome to another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons Learned, the dumbest thing I've ever done with money. My name is Suzanne, and I'm the head coach at Grace Financial Coaching. And my guest today is Beth Hendler Grunt, and she is a recognized thought leader in the college to career space. Parents, listen up. Beth has extensive experience consulting with startups to Fortune 500 firms, and she now leverages her expertise to help college students succeed when they graduate. This is music to my ears. She has enabled hundreds of clients to achieve success. 90% of her clients land the job of their choice. Her latest endeavor, Beth is the author of the Amazon number one bestseller, The Next Great Step, The Parent's Guide to Launching Your New Grad into a Career. Welcome, Beth.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I am psyched about this topic. I can't tell you how many financial coaching clients I have, where we have a situation of a child that has failed to launch, failed to leave the nest. And sometimes it's pretty obvious that it's a more of an emotional issue or something like that. But sometimes the kid's trying really hard and they're just having trouble getting into the field that they majored in or the field they want to get into. So how does your expertise play into helping these kids and their parents?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So no, I appreciate you asking. So our sole focus is to help college students and recent grads land the internship or first job after college. And how I came to doing this is really not because I'm a career coach by trade. I was in the corporate world for many years consulting to CEOs and their executive teams. And CEOs would say to me, you know, I'd love to hire someone who's right out of school, but I'm not going to because I don't want to babysit. I don't want to hold their hand. And I have real problems that need to be solved. And then I became of the age where I have lots of friends and said, I don't get it. My kids went to a great school. They have great grades, but they cannot get a job. And I don't know how to help them. I haven't looked for a job in 20 plus years. So I, in essence, started testing this out with my friends' kids, where I basically simplified the techniques that I taught CEOs about how do you have a strategy, how do you differentiate yourself, and how do you add value to someone. And the response was really positive. They're like, we're not getting this at school. This makes so much more sense. And that's how it kind of just got started. And we've had just, great success, which I'm really proud of. But I think there's such a crisis in this market of so many young adults who do not know how to navigate it. I'm just glad that we're able to provide a resource for them.
That's wonderful. I love what you said about the parents probably haven't looked for a job themselves in 20 to 25 years.
Yeah.
What is so much has changed. I worked in my university's work study that my work study job was in the career counseling center. Mm. And so at 19, I was shown how to build a resume, but that was almost 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So one of the things I know is that the way you structure your resume has totally changed.
Yeah.
What are some things parents can still help their kids with, even if they are totally out of the resume writing game per se?
Yeah, I get this question. So that's why I wrote the book, because I spoke with all these parents and they're just like, they're super smart. They're very established in their careers,
right,
but they're not sure how to help their young adult. So what I tell parents to start with is before you start telling your kid to go do something or go apply to all these jobs, actually just stop and listen for a minute and ask them, tell me about what classes do you really like? Or what is it that you really enjoy doing? And even if it's not the exact same thing as your major, let's talk through what that is. Because everyone has skills. A lot of kids think, well, I don't have anything to offer. I've only been in school all this time. But they do. There are skills, whether you're a leader, whether you're a good problem solver, whether you know how to research. So I think just having that initial conversation to help them feel comfortable to share what they're thinking, and then say, okay, if these are your skills, let's narrow down, like, which ones are the top three? And or maybe let's make sure you're talking to people who are doing roles that leverage those so you can understand more about what that might look like or what those options are. And I think the more that parents can encourage their young adult to talk to people and ideally network that is what starts to become how people figure out what to do with their lives. And it also teaches them that's how people actually get hired, is through networking. It's not through a job board or having the right keywords or the ATS system. It's people hire people and helping them to understand that and be good at it.
Yeah. When I coach other coaches, one of the biggest challenges for new coaches, whether it's financial coaches, life coaches, relationship coaches, is where am I getting clients from?
Yeah.
And you just nailed it in the sense that it's not necessarily through social media, unless you went viral and have a million, 1.5 million views on one video and everyone is sharing your video.
Yeah.
Your social media is not really the place for that, i.e. your online resume is not going to be the thing that gets you hired. So to me, those two things equate. It's networking. It's you've got to join your local chamber, coach. Beth, you've got to go to, and then when you join it, you have to go to the events.
And
then when you go to the events, you have to talk to new people.
Yes.
And this is not, this isn't rocket science, right? But it's just, it's an age old adage. Really, it can get, be applied to anything. And I think with the increase in online applications, that skill seems to be lost. Do you see that?
Oh, for sure. It's lost. I think what we also have going on right now is a crisis of lack of confidence.
Oh, interesting.
And you have so many young adults who now have lived through the pandemic, and that really threw them for a loop. They haven't had practice. They haven't had the opportunity to see more people, whether it's speaking with, like, seeing your own family at a family event and asking what your aunt or uncle do for a living. Like, there's just not as much of that. So that a lot of time was lost.
Yeah.
And this device that they've had in their hand, as my own kids are this age, by the way, one's 21 and one's 24. My older one says, it's not my fault. You put this device in my hand and it's changed how we communicate, or it's changed how, now keep in mind, I'm trying to teach what I preach about connecting, but it's true. I think they're so afraid to make a phone call. They're afraid about reaching out to someone to feel like I don't want to bother them, or they're going to think I'm annoying, or they don't understand that these are the rules of the game of how you actually reach out and communicate with someone. And I'm definitely concerned. And I kind of feel like what we do is a little bit, actually, we're in the confidence building business. We take everything that they have going for them that they thought wasn't an asset and be like, let me show you, not only is it an asset, you can talk about it in a way where you look so valuable to somebody. You have so much to offer. You just got to present it and say it in the right way. And you need to practice saying it a few times before you do it.
During the pandemic, the ones I was worried about were the little kids, not seeing people's faces, right? Yeah. Worried about the 1, 2, 3 year olds not being able to really, that's how a lot of them learn. That's how they learn how to use their words. I mean, we've all heard the little kids who can't say, use the letter L, right? Because they don't use their tongue properly yet. So it comes out as a Y instead of an L. Instead of saying little, they say yiddle. And because they just don't have the L sound. And so you're right. I was so focused on my friends who had the 1, 2, 3, 4 year olds not getting that facial recognition, not getting that socialization at a young age that could potentially ruin them through adulthood, right? But what these are the kids you're talking about were seniors in high school, from juniors in high school to maybe seniors in college.
Yeah.
When the pandemic hit, that's who that's affecting now, right?
Yeah, for sure. So think of it, last year was the class of 2023, and they are called the COVID class because class of 2023, they were freshmen when they were all sent home. So they were really impacted, I think, the most of any class because they were really dealing with it for 4 years. And they lost so much, not only academically, but socially, the opportunity for internships, the opportunity just to network with people, to be with people, just that whole college experience of what is so crucial to helping build an individual and feeling they've built their friends group. Maybe you're going to meet a mate or whatever it is. Yeah. And it just, you know, it really impacted them. I feel really badly for them.
I would even make an argument that the social events that were lost is 100% trickling into this because going to dances, going to commencement balls, mm-hmm. going to proms, going to homecoming, like not having that interaction. You know, maybe the football team at your high school was a big deal. So the game was played,
right?
But spectators weren't allowed.
Right.
And just knowing how to behave in those social situations, the lack of the confidence to make a phone call, that really is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it. I see it in my younger
100%.
20 cousins on my mom's side. And so I see it in the youngest ones, maybe not the very youngest ones, because they were still middle school-y, you know, when COVID hit, but the ones who were towards the end, they don't pick up the phone, and they don't pick up the phone when their parents call. They don't pick up the phone when we call.
Voicemail is of no use to them whatsoever. Right. It's just like a black hole of other people calling them, but they never check it.
I know.
They only know you called because they see the missed call, but they're not checking to see what you said in the voicemail.
And you know what? That I hate to say. I think, you know, I turned 40 last year. Don't tell anyone. but that actually is unfortunately part of my generation too. And I'm considered an old millennial or a zennial, depending on your demographic studies. If the voicemail doesn't come up with text on the screen, I probably don't listen to it.
Oh my gosh, so bad.
Well, Beth, I created this show to help other people realize that you might be the expert, but we've all made financial mistakes. So Beth, what would you say is the dumbest thing you've ever done with money?
So the dumbest thing I ever did with money, ironically, happened kind of recently, which I'm really even embarrassed to say, that I was looking to get concert tickets for Beyonce. She was coming to the New York area. And I just think she's amazing. We actually, as a family, saw her and Jay-Z a few years back. So I'm like, oh, I want to go see her at MetLife, which is outside. I'm like, I feel like this is going to be a great show. And a girlfriend of mine's like, I'll definitely go with you. Let's see if we can get tickets in a certain area. And I knew the tickets were really expensive. And I don't know why I was so impulsive about it. In the past, I'll just share that I had gotten concert tickets off of a Facebook group and they were legit. And we went and the tickets were amazing and we exchanged it. I'm like, okay, I've done this before. I'm going to try it again. So you go into these groups where people saying that they're selling tickets and you kind of get sucked in where someone's like, yeah, I have two tickets. How much do you want? And I'm always like, show me proof of the tickets. Show me proof of Ticketmaster. You know, I'm trying to send it over, like, I don't know what the safest, usually like Google Pay or something that's a little bit safer. And I had one person who said, I have the tickets, here's the proof, and showed me the proof of the tickets, the section, the dollar amount. I'm like, wow, this is a really good price. They're like, okay, just, I'm trying, you know, I should have been aware. So we were back and forth and I was driving somewhere and when I stopped at the rest stop, I saw they're like, listen, they're like, I'm trying to get rid of these tickets. I have other people who are looking for them and my husband really wants to get the money back. If you can do this soon. And I'm like, sure, no problem. And I send, they're like, here's my Zelle, or I did it through Zelle.
Okay.
And which, lesson learned, I'm not sure, don't use Zelle, actually, because once you lose it, it's gone.
It's gone, right, yeah.
So I use Zelle, thinking like I'm somewhat protected, not giving them my bank account, and the tickets didn't come. And I'm like, where are the tickets? She's like, my husband has them. I'm going to have them send them to you in the next hour. And then I'm like messaging, like, where are the tickets? Where are the tickets? And next, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm out of pocket. I don't have any battery on my phone. Like, I literally got so suckered. And then I'm like, if you don't send the tickets to me in the next, you know, 15 minutes, I'm calling the police and I'm filing a report.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, please don't do that. And I said, you know, going back and forth, I'm like, too bad. Send me the tickets. Give me your information or let's get on the phone. Look, this is all through Messenger.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Oh, crap.
But here's the worst part.
Oh, no.
It happened twice.
Oh, no.
I had another person who said they had tickets too, and they're like going to send it. And so I got screwed twice.
Oh my gosh.
So, and I'm really embarrassed to say that because I'm in my early 50s and I'm pretty smart and I have my MBA and I have a business and like, I think good advice, but the point is that they're so savvy with showing you actually the screenshot of the ticket. You know, I'll say what I should have done if I now like in thinking back. So by the way, I did go to the police. I reported both of them. Unfortunately, the police is like, it's so hard to track them down. We're going to put a report in. But because like the jurisdiction, they could be anywhere in the country, even if it came, this is such a minor thing. Like the county executive is going to brush it under, like they don't even get a penalty for it, or they just disappear. He's like, but we have it. We have a record of it. I have all the messaging. So the things that I learned from that, a couple things. Never, ever feel pressured by the person to do it. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And I got caught up because I wanted to go to the show. And I think it was coming, maybe it was a Wednesday and it was coming that Sunday. So I was in a short time frame. So yeah, I was really close to like when it was going to be, but you should never be pressured. The other thing I learned is that I should have done a better job looking up the person on Facebook and seeing, do I have anyone that I know that knows this person? When I realized in hindsight, the person lived in California. I'm like, why is a person in California going to the New York show? So that was the other mistake I made. And the last piece was just more of the way they showed proof of tickets was not as good as other ways. Like they showed the email confirmation, but no, you actually need the screen from Ticketmaster with the QR code. Like there's other things in hindsight that I learned, and to never use Zelle. Zelle, you never get the money back. Same with Venmo either. You need to use something with like Google Pay where it can there's, you know, certain things with the credit, there's other ways, and I can't think of the other payment method, but there's other payment methods that you potentially could fight it.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I was like, thank God it wasn't like crazy amounts of money, but I felt really terrible and I felt really bad. Like I was I was really hard on myself when that happened. And my husband was really pissed too, but you know, thank God it's not changing my life. You know, I ended up not going. What I should have done is even just put a note out on Facebook saying, any of my friends selling tickets to Beyonce that I know, like, you know, you got to start with people that you know, or you just got to buy it and you just got to pay the price through Ticketmaster, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the, you know, you kind of said it, it kind of goes back to what you said in the very beginning about how networking is so important. You can't just put your resume into the abyss. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
100%.
And if you had had somebody on, if that one person that you spoke to had been a mutual friend with someone you knew, that would have given them so much credibility.
That's right.
So much more validity in your eyes, for sure. And so that thought process extends to networking with the right people to get a job, all the way to who am I buying concert tickets from?
Yeah.
It's, you know, so, but I will tell you, if it makes you feel any better, we had a gentleman, a finance major who came on, it was a guest, and he bought a lemoned car because he felt pressured.
Mm.
And so we've had a lot more money lost on this show.
So, and that whole pressure tactic, like sometimes you just get like caught up. I mean, separate too. I mean, I guess there's other things too, where they send you like an alert saying like your computer's about to shut down unless you call the computer company. And then they take over your computer to see if there's something wrong, but nothing's wrong with it. They're just trying to get I've had that too.
I got three of those yesterday. I can't believe you brought that up. Yesterday, I got three in a row and I was like, what the heck is this? So I must've just been added to someone's spam list. I have not gotten one of those in a long time. Three within an hour.
The scam's bad. Even the Amazon ones, because it looks like it's from your Amazon account. But you know, it's funny. I even did a video for young adults saying, how do you beware of a job scam? And when you're getting it from a Gmail, when you're getting it from like someone asking you to show up in person and you've never met them, like that's, you know, run away. If they're asking for money up front, if they're asking for, if you only spoke to them 10 minutes and then they hired you, like, no, that's not real. But
I've seen application fee. There's a fee to apply for this job and it might be $30, but if that scammer gets $30 times 1,000 kids, because the job looks too good to be true.
I'll tell you one more bad one that's going around. So for young adults who get hired to a company that seems pretty legit. So let's say the company is, I don't know if they're fully legit, and they ask these kids as new employees to start buying gift cards for clients on their own credit card and that the company will reimburse them. And I'm like, absolutely.
I've never heard that. Yeah. Is that a
so
thing?
That's the job and you think you're actually doing something. And the very first thing they ask you is to buy these gift cards on your dime to give to clients. So now you've given them back the gift cards and it's all on your bill. And then they like disappear.
These are fully remote jobs, I'm guessing.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. What's your opinion on the fully remote jobs for a new grad? I mean, I know the ones who graduated mid COVID didn't really have a choice.
Yeah. Fully remote. I think it's kind of funny because we have this backlash, right, about remote jobs. And I'll share just from something that happened last week for me. I mean, I think there's some real value about connecting and being in the office, especially as someone who's young. There's so much to learn. There's so much to be gained from somebody who's there. Now, the hope is that do other people show up? That's the other issue that we have going on. So even if you're told to show up, is the person who's been working for 20 years, are they coming in? But right. I do think for someone who's young, right out of the job, out of school, it's so valuable. And I'll give a perfect example. So when I came out of college, I worked for AT&T. And it was in the day where that was like, it was a good job. I was in sales and everyone's in the office. Like remote didn't even exist as a thing. Right. I was in sales. So you could do stuff from the road. Like I was not always there, but you're going to the office as a home base. And I just built incredible work relationships. We would do stuff together. We supported each other. We got promoted. People got married, had children. And so I haven't been in working for a big company since, at least 2008. I mean, I've been working for small boutique companies, but like, oh, it's been a while. And I happened to do a spot on NBC News last week. And I heard from 20 or 30 people that I haven't heard from in like years. Oh. And these are all the people that worked with me when I first started. And it felt so nice to have that relationship and that we've known each other and we're happy for each other. And I just feel like there's nothing like having a work environment, if it's positive and you have a good boss and you have good peers to work off of, there's nothing like it. It's amazing. And you can learn so much. And these are the people that also you network with that help you get into your other jobs.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's so funny that you said that about the people reaching out after seeing you, which is congratulations on that NBC spot. That's very awesome. That's awesome. I had somebody find me on LinkedIn the other day and I was like, gosh, this person's name looks familiar. And I open it up. And it's someone who, when I was still working in commercial real estate management, I had met her in person because she was at a California property when I was at a New York property. I had met her once in person, right? Because she's over managing her properties. Mm-hmm. I'm over on the other coast managing my property. But she found me on LinkedIn and it was like nothing had changed. But the relationship, because I knew I had met her in person once.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I remember so-and-so. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, people don't stay at GE for 35 years anymore.
Not, right.
People don't stay at GM for 35 years anymore. No. It just doesn't happen. It's not going to ever happen, really. I don't think we're going back to that. But I think young people underestimate even the short-term relationship building. You know, yes, you're not going to be at GM like your grandfather was, you know, starting after World War II and ending... Yeah. You know, when he retired. Yeah. But just having that one little interaction in person one time at a conference with that fellow general manager, she found me on LinkedIn and it was like no time had passed. How are you? What are you doing? Those are the relationships where, you know, I told her what I was doing now. I said, oh, I've been a full-time financial coach for several years now. And she said, I'm going to tell everybody about you. I'm going to tell everybody about what you're doing. Yeah. This is so great. Yeah. That one time interaction with that person, but working with the same company for 3 years.
Yeah.
That's it really, the relationships are where it's at.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, I've had people that I worked with that were peers of mine that now they had me coach their kids because they needed help, you know? So you never know how it's like all going to come around. I mean, it's just, that's my other advice. Like everything comes around. So be nice to everybody. Don't be mean. Cause I'm telling you, the person that you don't like, you're going to run into them again. So be professional, be nice, suck it up. Even if you're not thrilled with, you know,
Exactly. Right. And if this person hadn't found me on LinkedIn, I'm not sure I would have ever thought of her again, but it was just like, you know, all of a sudden you have that common ground, you have that existing relationship and it makes all the difference for sure. Well, Beth, let me tell everyone the name of your book again. It's called The Next Great Step, The Parent's Guide to Launching Your New Grad into a Career. So please, everyone, all of Beth's details are going to be in the show notes. Jump on there, get that book. This is more important now post-COVID than really it's ever been before. I'm so excited for you, Beth. And I'm excited for the parents and the kids that are going to read this book and really get a lot out of it.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your vulnerability today, sharing the dumbest thing you've ever done with money. And you guys can catch us next week on another episode of Lessons Learned, The Dumbest Thing I've Ever Done with Money. Thanks again, Beth.
Thank you.
Join me again next week for another episode of Lessons Learned Podcast, The Dumbest Thing I've Ever Done with Money. Make sure to subscribe to the Grace Financial Coaching YouTube channel and please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.